Factis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Vectis Radio, it's FM 104.6, 12 minutes after 12. It's a Tuesday lunchtime, and for the first time in probably about 3 years, we've got John Irvine in from White Fibre. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all, yeah, since before COVID. Can you believe how time flies?
Well, I'm just, because you came in, I think you came in with, who's the big businessman up Long Lane? Oh, to come to me in a minute. He sets up lots of stuff. Dale.
Dale Howarth, yeah.
Yeah. Must have been about 3 years ago. Yeah. And look, the weight you've lost, I've put on.
Yeah, everyone can everyone see, you know, how much weight I've lost, yeah. I did the opposite in lockdown to everybody else. Bought an exercise bike and I'm a new man.
Well, there you go. You certainly look it. And the last time we actually spoke, you have done an interview, but we did it in lockdown. And it was over Skype. So
yes, indeed. That worked fine as well, didn't it?
It did, because technology is a wonderful thing.
It is.
Just remind me, White Fibre, it was something else, and now it's... And how long ago?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been here 10 years in February, so going back to the distant past, it was... I think we started in 2001 as Isle of Wight Cable and Telephone Company. Then it became Wight Cable, and then in summer of 2012, just after I got here, we rebranded to Wight Fibre, upped our speeds, and now we have a completely brand new full fibre network that's spreading out slowly across the whole island. It's going to make the island one of the best connected places on the planet.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know that, you know, over the years there's quite a lot of houses, you know, you forget how many houses you've got to hook up, because you know 21 years ago, which is incredible, you had to start from scratch. So here we are X amount of years on. How many people can get it on the island now?
Well, it's a funny story on how many houses there are on the island, because actually nobody knows. So the council don't know. We think we know. Ofcom, who's our regulator, they've got a different number. Everybody's got a different number. So there's around about 80,000 premises, so homes and business premises on the island. So just this week, we should cross our 40,000 home mark. So that's 40,000 of those places can get our service. All the roads that we've been digging up, we've actually got, we call them Toby's, little grates outside 54,000 of those homes. So that says most of the diggings all is done. So by the end of the year, we'll be about 60,000 homes will be able to get our service. And that last 20,000 will take us, most of those will take us about another year. And then there's just going to be a long tail of people who got missed out the first time through. Because private road, need way leaves, the road had just been resurfaced, we're not allowed to dig it up, so on and so on. But, you know, we are going to get to nearly all of those 80,000 homes in the duration of the project. They're all going to have this full fibre broadband, future-proof for the next... for decades to come, basically unlimited speeds. Whatever we need over the next 40, 50 years, the network will be able to deliver it.
Yeah, wow. That's an incredible thing. And it's, I think, you know, things like this is growing all the time. And, you know, the houses keep building houses. Are you involved in, not the building of the houses, but, you know, obviously we've got to start thinking of technology and internet and so on. So are you involved in that?
Well, again, times have changed. So, you know, 4 years ago, if we went and spoke to a developer and said, hey, can you, we've got full fibre broadband, can you put some ducting in whilst you're building the houses so that, you know, we can give these new houses the best possible broadband? And they for the most part weren't interested, whereas it's the opposite now. They're calling us up and saying, you know, can we work together
to
make sure, because there's lots of stats around about this, but if you have a good broadband connection into your home, and full fiber is as good as it gets, rule of thumb, that adds about 10% to the value of your house. And there might be some people listening who'll recognize this. You know, all the, you know, with COVID, everybody can, post COVID, more people are working from home, much more feasible to live on the island and have a job on the mainland. But you're not going to be able to do that if your broadband isn't good. So anyone who's tried to sell their house and it doesn't have good broadband will have had a few more problems than someone who does have good broadband. So well recognised now that good broadband is an essential component for anybody who's house hunting. They check their broadband in a way that they wouldn't have done before.
It's amazing. I mean, as I say, we moved house recently, and here's a question: how do you work out? Because you must have so many people that want it, moving like me lots of times, and you think, right, I've moved, but there's nothing outside of their house. So how do you know? Because this guy, when he turned up 2 days after us moving, which was excellent service, he spent about 4 hours outside having a little tinker, and then he came across the lawn like a mole, and everything was plumbed in a little while later. But obviously there was something he must have connected outside. But how do you know that you can actually get there before actually looking at the actual place where you're going to install it?
When we're building the network, yeah, we build it to every single premise. So I just called it a Toby. It doesn't stand for anything. It's named after the American company that makes them, and it's almost like a U-shaped bend. So little grate on top on the surface, but you've got a U-shaped bend underneath that leads into your garden through your boundary fence or your wall, whatever it is. So when we say we can deliver service to a home, it's because we've got one of these little Tobies,
right,
outside. So we don't make a premise ready for service, as we call it, till it's got one of those Tobies. The fiber that goes all the way into your home is already, the ducting for that fiber is already pre-positioned in that little Toby. So on the day of install, our engineer will turn up. He needs to lay a bit more ducting through your garden to get into your house, and then we call it blowing. So the fiber is actually blown back to the cabinet using compressed air, plugged into the cabinet, and then it's connected to the outside world. So for most places it takes a couple of hours. If you live in a block of flats, we need to be able to come in beforehand and pre-lay the fiber all the way into the flat, so that it's still fiber all the way to the premise. But most people can get connected within a couple of hours. Occasionally it goes wrong and the Toby's not there, it's been missed out, or been surfaced over by island roads and we have a bit of trouble finding it, but most times it goes fairly smoothly.
Yeah, and the Toby, is it that little plastic thing that you see on the, you know, on a pavement outside someone's house?
Black plastic, and they'll have either WF or white fiber written on them, or the older ones in cows will just say cable.
So going back to the old days, you know, at some point somebody had this idea. You know, you were going over to you know, fibre. Things have changed. What's the next thing on the horizon, or is it we're going to build? You know, fibre is the thing, and it's going to be here for years.
Well, fibre is the enabler. So nothing. So it's actually plastic. In the old days, it was glass. It's a glass cable. The signal's carried by light. So light goes a long distance before it degrades, unlike an electrical signal on the old broadband network that was metal. So that's why fiber is good. And it's good in its own right. It's an enabler to everything else. So people, you know, some people in some areas, I often hear them say, we don't need this full fiber. We've got 5G coming, and 5G will solve everything. But actually every 5G base station, so whether it's a mast with these square aerials on top that are 5G, or a little tiny micro cell, as they call it, that's perched on the end of a building, for the amounts of data that 5G needs, each one of those needs a fiber connection into the cell tower, into the base station. So you still need fiber. So fiber is, if you like, the enabler, and it's a really future-proof technology. Here on the island, we're making it as future-proof as possible. So every single premise, every single home, gets its own dedicated fibre all the way back to the cabinet. If you're on Openreach, which is our competitor here, so if you're on anybody except White Fibre, so TalkTalk, Sky, BT, they're all using the BT Openreach network. On average, as a rule of thumb, every 65 homes are sharing one fibre. So it's good enough for today. It'll go fast enough for today, but it's not future-proof. On the White Fibre network, every home gets multiple fibres into the home, so who knows what's coming down the line in 10, 20 years' time that would need those extra fibres. So it's a very, I'm using a lot of jingo here, it's what's called a very fibre-rich network, so that we should never, ever run out.
Well, let's hope not, because I say, a lot of work's gone into this and a lot of time and so on. I'd just be worried that you get all this done and then something else super-duper comes along. There's no chance of that, is there?
Well, I mean, I read a lot of science fiction, right. So, lots of ideas in your heads about what might come along, but whatever it is, it's going to need this really fast, high capacity data connection. So it's still going to need fiber. So like I said, fiber is an enabler for lots of these things. Mm. Most of which haven't even been invented yet. So I think in terms of sending messages, sending data around the world, receiving video, whether that's streaming video. I mean, the whole world will move to streaming. Already, there are TV boxes out there that don't need an aerial because you get it all over the internet. That will be the norm within 10 years, maybe longer. All of those TV transmitters you see all around the country, they'll all be gone because we'll all be getting it over our fiber broadband connection. But that's only going to work if it's full fiber. It wouldn't work on older copper-based technology. So all of these things are, fiber is the enabler for these new technologies.
I mean, it is incredible where you think where we were 10, 15 years ago to where we are now and where we're going. I mean, you said it might be about 10 years before most people will be watching stream TV. I don't talk to too many people that have that watch normal television in normal time. When we moved house recently, we decided that we didn't want a dish on the side of the house, so we watched stream TV. You have to get your head round it, because I'm old and I'm used to the old-fashioned way, but it's something, once you've got your head round it and you know that it works, if you've got good connection and it works, then you're never ever going to look back. So I would imagine it would be quicker than that.
Yeah, but indeed it can, and it works both ways. So there'll be a certain generation that grew up with the ability to flick through channels, yeah, to put a VHS video into a machine to record something, still want to record. That's all still possible. So you just make the interface, what's presented on the screen, just like a TV guide. You press 101 to watch BBC One, and instead of coming over the satellite dish, it's streaming over your broadband connection. To you, it's what's behind the scenes and what's under the covers doesn't matter. So the technology can work, both for the traditional market and the new market that wants to do things differently. Mm. So it's not something that's only for the future. It's something that will allow us under the covers to change how we do things already. And you didn't used to, imagine your TV guide on your screen, you didn't used to be able to scroll backwards a week. No. So, I forgot to record that. Well, now you just scroll backwards to last Wednesday, find the program that you missed, select it, and it starts playing. So that's only possible if you've got a good broadband connection.
It blows your mind. It really does. Where we are now and where we were 10, 15 years ago, it's no wonder that my mum, 89, is struggling to work all this out.
But you see, your mum, so your mum who wants to record things,
yeah.
you just showed her, look, you can move backwards in the TV guide. That programme you missed, you missed EastEnders last night, just scroll back. And it's still there, it hasn't gone away.
Talking of my mum, old person, I don't know whether you still do this or not, but there's a young man that comes around and helps out people with technology.
Yeah, we have a guy called Dan, DigiDan. And his job title inside the company is Digital Inclusion Officer. So we're really, really keen. We're rolling out this brand new technology. We're really keen that nobody gets left behind. So, you know, like your mum can be using the technology without realising if someone just shows her how to scroll backwards in the TV guide.
Yeah.
And guess what? Suddenly she's using full fibre broadband without needing to do, only a tiny little thing different. So digital inclusion is really important for us. And it's, you know, you said older person. It's not just older people. There are some people who are more digitally aware than others, who are more familiar, more comfortable with technology than others. And so Dan's job is to support not just those people directly, but to work with charities, supporting charities who in turn support people getting connected. We have a whole range of projects running that sit in Dan's area. We have what we call a connected communities program, so pretty much any community organization or not-for-profit organization, so a Scout Hut, a village hall, we'll give them a free broadband connection, provided, you know, that building is used, you know, giving back to the community. So a huge program there that's rolling out slowly. We work with a number of charities on digital inclusion technology trials. So we had one couple of years ago that in the end didn't work very well, through Age UK helping with the monitoring of dementia patients in their home. You know, we're not talking about video cameras or anything intrusive. We're just, you know, a sensor on the front door that will alert someone if the front door is left open for too long, which might suggest the dementia sufferer, you know, might have accidentally left the door open. And so someone needs to go and address that. We've got that. There's Alexa. Here's a very good example.
Should we prepare our listener? Don't, you know, just put your hand over Alexa for a minute.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. They've all got all gone off. So I'll use a code word for that in a moment. But so the digital assistants, virtual digital assistants, as they're called. Is that the right phrase? So loneliness, 11,000 homes on the Isle of Wight are occupied by someone over the age of 65 living alone. So loneliness is a big challenge on the island. And there's some evidence, some reports, that even having one of these digital assistants, so, you know, just saying, hey, you know who, is it going to rain today? And it tells you, no, it's not going to rain today, or yes, it is. And it's very conversational. So, you know, bizarrely, just some interactions like that, they're almost conversational, and it's been shown that they help people with loneliness. And it's probably too early for me to mention it. I'll get in trouble if I mention it, but we're working with a really well-known charity on the island that has a remit to support people living alone, where that device will connect them to a real person, and they can just have a chat, a real time. So part of our support for the project is, for the pilot phase where we're trying out the technology, we'll supply the device and the broadband to get people connected.
That's incredible. There is a lot of community spirit coming out. There really is, and it's lovely to hear. I mean, you know, all the things that you've just mentioned, I just think that's brilliant, because let's not forget, the Isle of Wight is a place where it's considered old. And you know, someone said recently, numerous times this has been said, if we were a country, we'd be the oldest country. And isn't it wonderful that, you know, we've got a company that is technical and sorting out all the technical things, but is not forgetting the proper community.
It is a really big thing for us. So in our company logo since 2015, we have the words "because we care," and you know that started out as a customer service initiative, so caring about our customers. But we also care about each other in terms of employees in the company. I want White Fibre to be a great place to work, and we put a lot of time and effort into trying to achieve that. So we care about our customers, about each other, but also about our island community. It's a really big thing for us, trying to find opportunities to give back to our community. And then most recently with our environmental ambitions, we've added, you know, and we also care about our environment, the island environment, because we're doing a lot, and we want to do a lot more to reduce our carbon emissions and to improve our waste management and recycling, and also looking at any environmental projects we can get involved in on the island. And there's a couple of those I could talk to you about if it wouldn't be boring you too much. We're sponsoring a PhD student who's doing some research into red squirrels. So if you want me to bore you about the red squirrel population on the Isle of Wight, I can do that. But it's all around the sustainability of that red squirrel population. There are actually two populations that have lost their bridge. So the trees have been chopped down. So it's basically one population, one side of the Medina, another on the other side. So they're no longer interbreeding. They're no longer connecting. So there's a question there about the sustainability, therefore, if the populations become too small. So talk about some sort of connecting bridge of trees to allow the two populations to mix again. And then also an analysis of their genes. So the last surviving populations of true English red squirrels. So red squirrels haven't interbred with Swedish red squirrels. They're still red. are here on the Isle of Wight and in Guernsey. So their populations are endangered by climate change, or it's getting warmer. So they're going to compare the Isle of Wight squirrels' DNA genes with an Italian red squirrel's genes. And if there's a good fit, then the chances are the squirrels will be able to survive climate change and live in a warmer climate. So we're paying for that PhD student over the next 3-4 years to do that research, and that's all about ensuring the sustainability, longevity of red squirrels on the Isle of Wight.
How incredible! And I never thought that we would be talking about squirrels this lunchtime. Let's just go back a step. You mentioned staff. You mentioned people working for you. You mentioned, earlier on, I think it was 40-odd thousand houses that obviously people have worked hard over the years. How many people have you actually got working for you now?
There's about 100 people working for White Fibre now. About 20 of those are here just for building the network. So once the construction's finished, that team will shrink down to just a smaller team. So in terms of long term, we're around 80 employees.
So what happens then when you've when everyone's got it, is there a point in the diary that you say, right, that is when everyone's got it, and then what do you do?
Then the job is to persuade as many people as possible to sign up and use it. So we already have over 10,000 homes in the island using our broadband, and Vectis, you're a hyper local radio station. We're a small local company on the island, so we're White Fibre are competing against Sky, TalkTalk, Vodafone, all of whom prime time. You watch ITV on a Saturday night. It's full of broadband ads, and we're not there advertising primetime Saturday night in the middle of Ant and Dec, but we're still managing to persuade.
But you know,
10,000. We're just about to hit 40,000. You know, that's a 25% market share. You know, we've in some areas of cows and Gurnard, you know, where the company started 20 years ago, over half of the homes. Over half the homes in Gurnard use white fiber.
Wow.
As an example. So over time, you know, we think we will get more than our fair share of business from the island, because we're a local business. We care. If you call us, you don't get press one for this and two for that.
Oh.
You'll get straight through. Our home Wi-Fi are the plume-based technology that we use for spreading Wi-Fi around your house. People love it. You get a little app that lets you see what's going on. You can turn your, when it's time for bed, you can turn your kids' devices off and say, no more internet tonight. It's got parental controls. It's got safeguarding. You know, we block all of those nasty websites out there that are illegal. So you know, it's a great all round offering. You know, you control it from the app, because you can have it. It's absolutely pointless having some of the world's best broadband coming into your house if then once you get in the house, you know, it doesn't reach the back bedroom, or it doesn't reach the.
Well, that's what, you know, we found.
The basement,
and we had DigiDan come round and he sorted us out.
Yeah.
And it's genius. It's what's lovely is it's technology and it shouldn't be scary, but people, you hold people's hands if they need it. Most people, if they're tech savvy, they get it set up and that's pretty much it. They'll just crack on and it'll be that. But there'll be people that will be thinking, yeah, okay, I got a signal here, but I can't get one out there. What can we do about it? And you must hear that all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, we call our broadband a different kind of broadband. Full fibre, future-proof, ultra-fast. But we had a big debate whether, because another catchphrase that we... Please don't steal this idea. So I'm giving it away online. But you know, we also talk about broadband that just works. So you don't have to fiddle with it. You don't have to switch it on and off every now and then to recycle it to get it working. It's broadband that just works. Like you turn the water tap on, you don't have to worry about whether the water's going to flow that day. Mm. It's always there, and that's. That's what our broadband is. It's just always going to be there, and you know, if it's not, we'll be right on it, and we'll be fixed really quickly. But you know, we just don't, with the new full fiber broadband and the Plume Wi-Fi technology, you know, we just most of our customers, and if there is any customer out there that's got our Plumes and it's still not working quite right for you, you know, give us a call, because you know the technology is very flexible and we can do things to make it work better all of the time.
I might just take you up on that, because I've got no signal in the loo.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I mean, but it's not. Well, not no signal. It's not as good as it is elsewhere. But it's a different setup in our house now. So, you know, maybe I'll get down in it as a project, just to sort of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as a rule, a quick and easy guide. Wi-Fi doesn't like thick walls.
Yeah.
So where people have built an extension on the back of their house, so that actually the internal wall between, say, your living room and the conservatory, or the extension to the kitchen out in your back garden, that's a big thick wall, and these signals are low power, so they don't interfere with each other's and with your neighbours, and they just don't like thick walls. But there's ways around that.
Okay, I might give Dan a call then, if it's that essential. I mean, it is only the loo after all. What's the next big thing that you're working on? We went from squirrels just now, so what's the next thing you're working on at the moment?
I mean, our focus as a business now is making sure that we connect up as many premises as we can. So I said earlier, there's about 80,000. In fact, depending on whose numbers you look at, There's probably more like 83,000, 84,000, and you know that includes all the caravans, all the beach huts. Ofcom, our regulator, counts a kiosk in a car park as a premise, because actually you'll see at these, well, they don't have kiosks anymore, do they? An ATM is a premise, because they all need anything that might need a network connection. So our focus is to connect as many as those as possible. You know, most places that are rolling out full fiber, including in the big cities, every premise isn't getting connected. The hard ones are getting left behind, right. and they're not getting it. So at White Fiber, you know, I'm passionate, I'm absolutely determined that White Fiber will have the highest percentage coverage of full fiber of anywhere in the world. And you know, so that means out of those 83,000, you know, we need to get to around 80, 81, 81,500, and then those last 1,500, you know, they're typically premises that are a bit off the beaten track, you know, down a narrow track, you know, half a mile from the nearest road, that sort of thing. There'll be ways to get those premises connected to ultra fast broadband. It won't be a fiber cable all the way to the premise, but it'll be some form of 5G based solution. So you get 5G as close as you get as close as you can, yeah. And then you use a 5G or some sort of radio wave to get the rest of the way. So that's our focus. Our focus is simply on the island and doing the best possible job for the island and making the island one of the best connected places in the world. And I'm not saying that glibly. Our broadband here, you know, the countries that are held up as who's got the best broadband in the world: Singapore, South Korea, to a lesser extent, Sweden, Lithuania. Our broadband is as good as theirs, if not better. And although we talk about speeds as numbers, you know, you can get 900 meg right now. Technically, it actually runs at 1,000 meg, but you know, no PC will measure 1,000 meg. So mm-hmm. We say 900, so that when people do their speed test, they see the speeds. But you know, we could launch a 2,000 meg service, a 3,000 meg service tomorrow if anybody needed it. Businesses on the island can routinely get a 10,000 meg service if they think they need it. Our network's already is ready for that. So when we talk about, you know, what's next, it's just, you know, the ongoing, ever increasing demands for speed and data, and we're ready for it.
I've got two more questions for you. One is, how critical are you whenever you go away somewhere else if their internet isn't up to speed? Are there places that are very good? Are there places that are really bad? Just say, for instance, do you dread leaving the Isle of Wight if you need to keep have a signal or have some kind of, you know, internet connection?
We are spoilt here now. I think our broadband is certainly better than average. It's certainly amongst some of the best around. I think the island, 5G is the next big thing on mobile, and the island has always struggled on mobile. So even when it was 3G and even when it was 4G, there were bits of the island you could drive to and you wouldn't get a signal.
Yeah.
And that's still true today. So, you know, I'd love for White Fiber to have a role in playing that. But unfortunately, the way 5G works is the frequencies that are used for 5G, they're all allocated nationally by the government. You pay billions of pounds for them, and the big companies like Vodafone, EE, and Three, they have all of those. They have all the spectrum, it's called. So they're not using half of it here in the island, but it's theirs. not ours. So if a local company wants to set up a 5G network in the island, it's a challenge. I'd love to be able to do that. So when I go traveling, actually most places have a better mobile signal than than the Isle of Wight. So, but you know, at home for sure, I've got 900 meg in cows. Very few places will beat that.
I've got one more question. It may be a bit of a curveball. Actually, I know that, you know, years ago on another network, you could connect to other Wi-Fi that were part of that network. Will there ever come a day when you can do that with white fiber, or is that out there already?
Well, that's the technology is around for that, but I'm not sure that people want it. So on some networks they were turning your home router into a public hotspot, which meant they were making a wee bit of your broadband available to anybody that was walking past. So
I'm not sure about that myself, John, actually thinking about it.
So we could do that. It's safe, you know, there's no security implication for it. But I think if we did do something like that, we would, you know, provide additional bandwidth, some additional speeds to facilitate that. We don't do it at the moment because actually, like we said already, your Wi-Fi range isn't. It's low power, so it's not that great. It maybe runs for 20, 30 meters. So it's not necessarily that useful a thing to do.
Mm. Thank you for your time this lunchtime, and congratulations on all the successes and the amount of people that are now hooked up and going to be hooked up in the near future. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Well, you're very welcome. I just need to congratulate Vectis Radio as well. Since the last time I've been in, you've won some awards. Wow. You've got an FM transmitter, and it's great to see.
Fantastic.
Well done, Vectis Radio.
Well, thanks for your support as well, and it's great. And hopefully you come back again. Now everything is, as it should be, or getting back to some kind of normality. Maybe you come in on a regular basis. That'd be great.
I'd love to.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come up with some Joe Cocker in 2 ticks.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.